It's Parshas Korach, Perek Yud Ches, which is chapter 18, and we read the psukim about the pigeon haben last time. So we read up until, let me just see, yeah, we read for sure 15, 16, 17, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, yeah. We might even have read a little bit more, and we'll go back to it. But I just want to show you something on these psukim. So these psukim, as we mentioned, we're going to read more psukim soon because we're going to finish. But we do have to do a little bit more inside about the idea of why we have a pigeon haben. Because here, as we said, what the context here is, we are discussing the presents for the kehanim. We call the chaf dalid machnes kehuna, the 24 presents for the kehanim. As well as we're going to go very soon to the presents that we give to the Levi. And as we mentioned, the Kohen gets 24 presents. Many of them, and we went through it last week, are different types of trumas that we give, different parts of the crops that we give, and of course, the meat from the karbanis and the bikurim, all different things. And amongst the presents of the Kohanim is also the concept of the pigeon haben. When we have a firstborn, we have to redeem him, because as we said last week, we did say the idea that all firstborns are holy. We don't have to sanctify them for them to become holy. They are automatically holy. Just because they are firstborn, Hashem decided, and that's the way it is. But because of that, and then the firstborn initially were supposed to be the ones serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they would have just remained sanctified and holy. When we had the sin of the golden calf, that was taken away from them, and it was transferred to the tribe of Levi. Now, because of that, the firstborns want to live a normal life, so to speak, be what we might call chulin, which sounds not so nice, but it just means just be normal like everybody else and not designated as holy, so they need to be redeemed for that. Otherwise, they can't just live their life normally and do normal work, as the Kohen and the Levi doesn't, but now they can, and therefore we redeem them. And we started to discuss what's the concept of redeeming the firstborn. So what we're going to do is, I'm just going to share the screen, but on your sheets, before we go, I know you opened up your Chumash, keep it open, because we are going to come back. But the booklet that has page numbers, so the first one says page number 1, right? So I just want to show you, we did the idea of the guarding that we're not going to go into anymore, because that's what the Kohanim and the Levim do. They guard the Beis HaMikdash. We did that in depth last week. But what we are going to see here now is to understand on page number, not 2, 3, we're going to go 4. I think it's page number 4. And I want to just read you quickly, because we want to get to, we did a little bit on page 4. We did the Sefer HaChinuch, but I'm just going to start from where it says, Kedushas Shel Bechar. So let's see. I'm going to share the screen here, and yeah, okay. So this part, as we said, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, this is taken from a book called Nachsheni. It's a guy, Rabbi Yehuda Nachsheni. He actually didn't live long ago. I don't think he's still alive in Israel. And what he did is he's a beautiful book. It's actually translated into English as well. One time I could bring it to show you. But what he does is he picks different topics in the parsha, and he goes into them in depth, and he brings from all the different commentaries. So he brings a very abbreviated form from the different commentaries, both from the early, like even Rashi and Ramban, like that we do a lot of times inside the Aruch Chaim, and also from later ones. So it's very nice when there's a specific topic that you want to research, and if you're lucky, he did that one, because he didn't do all the topics, then it's very nice because you get a really in-depth, strong. So this time I was a little bit lazier, not lazier really, but because I want to cover it, and we're not going to do all the mefarshim inside like we did with a lot of, so here I made from him, and he has this topic, so it's easier for us to see very clearly what is the depth, what's the meaning, what's the lesson behind this idea of a pigeon haben, especially since this is a mitzvah that we still keep till today, and therefore, as we said last week, so therefore it's nice to understand what it is. Okay, so if you see where it says Kedushas Shel Bechar in the middle of page 4, he quotes from the Abarbanel, and we've mentioned many times the Abarbanel lived in Spain, right, in the 1400s, quite a rational approach, but he says beautifully, what's the idea of this mitzvah? The idea of the sanctity, of the designation of the Bechar, is connected to the idea of memory. What are we talking about, memory? And he says specifically, it is for us to remember, as we mentioned this a little bit last week, the miracles from Egypt. The fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Ru'uyim hayu gam b'chayri Yisrael lilkas. What's the connection? Because we know that when the Jews were in Egypt, the firstborn of the Jewish people should have also died in the plague of the firstborn. Why? Why should they have died? Halalu k'may halalu avdu l'tale. Because they both served the sheep. They were both serving idols. The Egyptians and the Jews. There wasn't a difference. So why did Hashem not kill the Jewish firstborn? It was a kindness of Hashem. It was a pure chesed. And to remember that, we sanctify and we designate that the firstborn belongs to Hashem. Ach Hashem b'rev rachem, Hashem in His great compassion. Hitzil es b'chayre Yisrael. He saved the firstborn from amongst the Jewish people. V'hika b'chayre Mitzrayim. And He destroyed, He hit the firstborn of the Egyptians. And we know that in Parashas Bo'i, that's the origin of this mitzvah. Interesting, we have this mitzvah in this parasha, as we said, and it's important to remember the context, because this parasha, Parashas Korach, was where Korach was going against Moshe and Aaron. So in other words, he was almost undermining what was so special about the tribe of Levi. That's why the parasha concludes with the uniqueness and the specialness of the tribe of Levi. That shows us the whole theme of the running through the parasha. And that shows us that they are the ones that get all the special presents. So that's why what we have over here is like this. We say like this. What happens in Parashas Bo'i, when it discusses the mitzvah, it tells us the fact that the B'chayri of Egyptians were hit. He says like this. There are many mitzvahs there that are connected to the leaving of Egypt. First of all, matzah, al shem shalei hispik batzekem lehachmitz. Because, of course, their dough didn't rise, so we have matzah, karbon pesach, al hashvatim, she'asah Hashem belekehem, ubitul mazel tale. We know we have the karbon pesach, that's for all the miracles that Hashem did for us. The fact that He hit their gods, the fact that He took away their mazel. They worship the sheep, so we bring the sheep as a karbon. And then, of course, this mitzvah, kiddush b'chayrim, the sanctity of the firstborn. Al-shein ha-neis b'chayrim. So that's how the Abar Bina looks at it. So it's very connected to specifically the miracle of that Hashem spared the firstborn in Egypt. Then the Sfarnu, he says, similar, he says. Masker mitzvah zeh ba'ifin daimeh. B'chayri Yisrael ru'uyim hayu lil kaisim mahem. The truth is the firstborns of Israel should have also been hit with them. Why? Pen tispeh ba'avin ha'ir. Like the Pasuk tells us, be careful, you might be swept up with the sin of the city. In other words, punished along everybody else who is being punished because of the sins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitzilam, Hashem saved them. B'mashe hikdisham lay la'avidasai kinezirim. So what did Hashem do? He saved them, and in a sense, it was for the sake that they should serve Him like a nazir, so to speak, be specifically designated. So it's like you say, you save somebody, conditionally, I guess, and you say, you know what? You don't really deserve to be saved, but now that I've saved you, you'll be my special servant. So it'll be worthy enough for you to be saved. And in a sense, that's what Hashem did with the B'chayrim, where they were meant to be specifically designated to serve Him. Okay, the asurim ba'avaydas hedjet, and they're not permitted to do normal, just ordinary work. Lachin ba'abdiya, so therefore we have this concept of redeeming them. Lahatiram ba'avaydas chal, so that they should be permitted to do normal work. They should be able to live lives like everybody else, and not be like as we know the Kayanim and the Levi'im are. Ulam hachinuch, and we read this one, but just very quickly, this is a very one. This is a beautiful one that many of the mefarshim elaborate on. As we said, the Sefer HaChinuch, he says, Ki inyan b'chayris hu hakdoshas reishisa shel adam l'Hashem. The idea of the sanctity of the first of a person goes to God. Chaviva al kol adam reishis piryo. We know what's most beloved to a person is the first of his fruits. U'b'masur oysa l'Hashem hu u'macher ki mishel mishaloi hakol. So what happens? When a person gives over to God the first, he's recognizing that everything really belongs to God, right? That's the truth. Everything is God's to begin with. V'loi ha-toida v'haschala, and to Him is all the gratitude, and to Him, and to Hila, and all the praise. Marchiv kevan zeh, ba'al l'kuter anshei kodesh, b'shem kadmeinim. So there are other commentaries who elaborate on this idea, and they say like this, that amna mitzvah zuhi zecher litzias Mitzrayim. Truth is, this mitzvah is very much connected to remembering us leaving Egypt. But, avamahu hatzav hakodesh, what's the idea of the sanctity? Lama matza eina kedusha. If you think about it, what we are saying is that the firstborn, not only is the firstborn have certain mitzvahs that he has to do because he has to remember that he wasn't killed, but he becomes sanctified. It's interesting. The matzah doesn't become sanctified. It's a mitzvah, but you don't have to eat it somewhere like we. I mean, it would be nice. Imagine if we had to all go up to Yerushalayim to eat the matzah. That's not the mitzvah, right? So it's a fascinating thing that the firstborn is the only one that has this extra thing, that he not only has something he has to do to remember the miracle, but he actually becomes sanctified. So it's quite unique. And he says, why is that? Lama matzah in the kedusha ulam be'emtzos mitzvah zu reitza teira lahachter banu emuna. Because this mitzvah is meant to implant in each and every one of us the faith, the real belief, the real not just understanding, but internal faith that what, as we mentioned a little bit last week, but here we see it quite beautifully explained. He says that what? Ki yesh reishis la'olam, that there is a beginning to the world. Not like people say, the world came out of nowhere and was always there. There's no such thing. There is a beginning. There is a first. And obviously the first is God. And then God created the world at a certain date, as we know, and we count from that date. V'lay kamay ha'kayfrim, not like those, the ones who deny. Ha'ayimrim ki ha'ilam u'kadmin, who say the world comes first. Lachin amra Torah kol reishis kodeshu. That's why the Torah tells us all firsts are holy. Reishis tiganecha, reishis hagaz, right? The beginning of your crops, the first of your sheep, first, right? Only for boys, exactly. It's true. But still, we have a concept in Torah that firsts have something special. And it's interesting because, as we said, for us as people, we know firsts have something else. Not just that they're special. We know when we start something, there is something incredibly different about the beginnings of everything. There's something exciting. And that's why, as Torah Jews, what we believe and we know is true is that in truth, even though some of us feel quite old, every single day we're born anew. That's what we say. And why do we have to say that? I mean, because it's a fact. But why is that a fact? Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem make it that the world has to be recreated every moment? Because something new is much more exciting. You see an infant and you just, you can't not get like this. I don't know, a person has to have a heart of stone not to be moved when they see a newborn. A newborn is just unbelievable. If we would just realize that we are all newborns, that's the truth. And I will see it soon develop more beautifully. But you can see. So he says like this, all firsts are holy. All firsts are. And the idea is, again, because to remember that there is a first, that there is a God that comes first. Reishis Pri Adama, the first of the crops, they all go designated specially to something higher. Habachar, who Reishis Pri Beten, Yisrael Nikra, and Reishis, you know, the Jewish people are called Reishis, the first. Gihem Reishisa Shel Ha'emunah HaTayra. What are we first in? The pure belief. And we're meant to set the tone in the world about the fact that there is a God and that there is something that comes first and there is a deeper meaning and a deeper insight and a deeper aspect to every single part of our life, that there is, we are God-centered. And this is what a Jew does. This is what a Jew is meant to do. And therefore he says, Lachin madgish ha-Torah, that's why the Torah emphasizes, Hikdashti li kol b'char b'Yisrael, designate and make holy for me all of the firstborns of Israel, may Adam ad behema lihiyu, from man to animal, they are mine, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. I'll just finish the paragraph. L'hayreis ki yeshna ha'atihila l'havaya v'Hashem bara. Haschala, that there is a beginning to all creation, and Hashem created everything. Sorry, Sylvia, yes, no problem.
It's just something that, why isn't the firstborn girl important?
So the truth is like this. It really has nothing to do with that. The firstborn girl is very important.
No, very important.
No, why we don't do this mitzvah. No, it's just to do with the mitzvah. Because it has to do, that's why it's more connected to the firstborn of Egypt idea. Because yes. It was the boy, but there's an opinion that it was the girl, but many opinions say it was only the girl. So it's only to do with that. According to many opinions, it was just the firstborn boys. So it has nothing to do with her being less holy or not. The idea, that's what I'm saying to you, that really what we have to realize is that we're always in a first zone. As part of us is always. It's an important thing to remember. As a Jew, we are first. But what does that mean? Not in a prideful way, because we represent God who is first. man, woman, child, old, young, we're all, you know, so, but this is just a specific mitzvah that has specific halachas, so but it's a good question, Sylvia. No, I do understand, yes. I understand. I think also...
Firstborn little baby girl, I mean, she is your...
Oh, she's, exactly, you're right, there's nothing like it. I always say the best thing is to have a girl, but whatever you have is good. So lucky whenever. That's it. Exactly right. Whatever we have. But I hear you, Sylvia, I hear you. But I guess over here we're really, it's a good point, but we are also discussing more the meaning behind the mitzvah, which is applicable for everybody. But yeah. Okay. And let's see quickly a little bit more. Ha'emek davar sever kegam kedushas b'char behema naivas mikdushas eshal b'chara adam. Even the animal also comes, the idea that an animal, the first of an animal, is also special, that comes because of being a human is special at first. And I just wanted to see if there was something in this paragraph important, otherwise we'll go on to the next one. Okay.
Sorry, was it also a male animal?
The male animal. Yeah, only the male, yeah. Okay, I just want to go to the next page. Go to page number 5. And I just want to show you... Oh, let me just read you one more paragraph, because the Ramban says it beautifully. It's on top of page number 5. Matzasi hezberze mefurash heitev b'tura latere shen kitzer midivrei haRamban. So an abbreviated version of the Ramban's words, Nachmanides. What does he say? He says like this. From the time that there was idol worship in the world, right, all the way from the beginning, from when Hashem created the world, like the fourth or fifth generation, they started to serve idols. We know that we went through, the Rambam discusses how that happened. It was in the time of the generation of Enosh. What did they start to do? They started to doubt, and they started to have all kinds of arguments against the faith, against the fact that there is one God. So some of them, mehem kaifrim be'ikar, va'aymrim sha'ilam kadman, some people just deny God altogether and say there is no God and the world comes first. But some of them say, okay, there is a God, mehem machachishim yidiyasai, they say that God doesn't know. He doesn't know exactly what's happening. And then there are some that say, yeah, God does know. Yaidu biyidiyah, he does know. He created the world, he's aware. But what do they deny? Umachachishim bashkacha. They deny his supervision, his involvement in the world. That's the most common one. V'yasu adam kidgei hayom, they make people like the fish in the ocean. Shelo yashgiach hakel bahem ve'ein imam schar ve'einesh. They say we are like fish. You know, when you look at fish, it looks like they're swimming who knows where. They don't have any purpose. They don't have anybody guiding them. They don't have any direction. So they say that's a human being and there's no reward. There's no punishment. In other words, there is absolutely no purpose to anything and God is not involved in our life. So there are all different levels of how people view the way the world runs and the relationship of Hashem to the world. But what we say here is we say like this. But when Hashem wants a congregation or an individual, in other words, he wants to give a bit of a jolt and he wants us to remember that there is a God, what does he do? So he does some kind of miracle, some kind of something unusual that it goes against the natural order of the world. And we know whenever we experience such a thing, well, not everybody, but most people, it will help them to realize, oh, there is something above, you know, there's something above nature. There's something else running the world when you get that jolt. But very interesting thing happens. And then all these other doubts fall away. We can't say Hashem is not involved because he is involved. Obviously, look, he stepped in and he changed the normal order of things. So therefore, we start to recognize that there is a God and that he's involved. And he says, because a miracle reflects and shows that there is somebody who is renewing and constantly recreating and involved in the world. Elikeinu yedeya, our God knows. Mashkiach, not only does he know, but he supervises, v'yachal, and he's capable. He can. He actually has the power to control and to change things. The miracles of Hashem are a proof to us about the creation of the world, something from nothing. Yediya v'hashkacha pratis, the knowledge, and of course the fact that Hashem is involved, supervises everything. But there's a bit of a problem, because most of us, especially nowadays, don't really experience open miracles. We didn't have the sea split for us. We didn't see the 10 plagues, right? So what do we do to sustain this belief? That's why what does Torah do as a beautiful system says, yes, your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents experienced miracles. So they saw Hashem changing nature. So what do we have to do? He says like this. V'ilu mitzvah Hashem ma'aviris ma'ifsim eilem meidar ledar. These mitzvahs of Hashem, they transfer these great miracles from generation to generation. So even if we didn't experience the miracle, when we do a mitzvah, we re-experience the miracle. So when we do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, what we're meant to do is we're meant to be re-experiencing as if we woke up in the morning, all the firstborns of the Egyptians are dead, and our firstborns are alive. And that gives us that jolt. Wow, there's Hashem, and He knows, and He's aware, and He's involved in our life. Right? Hashem doesn't do miracles every single day. L'einei kol rasha, in the eyes of all the wicked people, in other words, in the eyes of even ordinary people. So that's why He commanded us to make a remembrance for all that we experienced, all that we saw. And we should give it over to our children, and the children to their children, until the last generation. So that's a beautiful idea of generally mitzvahs, but specifically here when we're talking about Pidyon HaBen, it gives us that incredible implanting of the faith of Hashem running the world, being the first, being in charge, being involved, and changing nature whenever He needs to, and taking care of us, and actually, as we can see in this mitzvah, literally taking care of us even when we don't deserve, which is also a very beautiful thing that we have to remember, because a lot of times people talk about bitachon, and they say that's all very nice and good, but what if I don't deserve? And here we see they didn't deserve, and Hashem still stepped in and saved them. So all of this is part of the remembrance of the miracle in a very tangible way. I want to just do one more part of this. I think we'll do that orally, that it says another interesting thing about this mitzvah is that, interestingly enough, again, everything seems to come back to, it's connected to Yosef HaTzadik. Why Yosef HaTzadik? Because the amount that we give is the same amount that they sold Yosef for, it says. They sold him for five, I mean, it's a different way we count it, but yeah, 20 silver esrim geira is corresponding to the 5 shek shkolim that they give over here, whatever, somehow or other, that's what they say the value is. And the idea is, why Yosef? Because we know Yosef was the bechor of Rachel. He was the firstborn of Rachel. And what they wanted to do was deny that, so to speak, and sell him and get rid of him. And so therefore, we remember it through Yosef. Through the amount that we give the Kayin, same amount. But another beautiful thing it says also is that there's another thing, there's a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, there's also a mitzvah of Peter Chamar, that you also give a donkey, the first of the donkey, which is also interesting. And not only that, you're supposed to break the back of the donkey, whatever it is, but it's also a concept of the sanctification of the donkey. The idea of the donkey is fascinating. I know we don't ever see that mitzvah now. But what's the idea of the donkey? We won't go into it because it's not really in our parasha. It's more parasha's boy. But he mentions it because it's connected. The donkeys were the interesting. That's what they put Yosef on, this donkey. And not only that, but Yosef also gave them, he gave them their supplies when they came to Egypt, they put the supplies on the donkey and took it back home with them. But what do we see with the donkey is that the donkey, as he says over here, that you break, I'm going to just see, that just like Hashem, sorry, I just want to see, also with, that was with Yosef, and in Egypt, the donkeys helped them carry out their things. Remember, they took so much stuff from they borrowed whatever they took from everybody, and the donkeys helped them carry it out. And the idea, again, for us is to remember that Hashem is the one that runs everything, and Hashem brought us close, and Hashem is the one that gives us what we need, so to speak, and supplies us with what we need. And this is the idea of the sanctity of the animal and the donkey. Okay, so we're going to stop over here from this, and I'd like to go into the psukim again, because I want to see one other beautiful lesson before time goes so fast. But I just want to finish reading the psukim, and then I want to show you something else beautiful of these things. Okay, so after we finish the psukim of... Let me just get back here, I'm not sure where it is in here. I'm not sure if I have a copy of that. So this is, we are now in, as we say, in Parshas Korach, and we are going in Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, and I'd like to read from Pasuk Yutes. Okay. Yes, sure.
Rana just said, What about the donkey with Bilam? Any connection?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. Could be. It could be the donkey of Bilam. We're going to get to it soon. The next two parashiyos, Mirtz Hashem, Rona. You've got to keep coming because we're going to get there. soon. Okay. I just wanted to see one more thing here. You know what? Let's look at Pasuk Yotzes. Kol Trumas HaKadoshim. So all of these Trumas, these holy designated Trumas, these things that we give to the Kohen. Asher Yarimu B'nei Yisrael HaShem, that B'nei Yisrael give, lift up to God. Right? We know that's what they're giving to God as a present for the Kohanim, but they give it, it's the Kohen, but it's as if they're giving it to God. What do we say? Sorry. Which Pasuk is this one? This is Pasuk Yud Zayin? No. Sorry. I'm just looking at Pasuk Yutes, right? That's what we're reading now. Okay, good. Sorry. Okay. So, what do we say about it? Nasati lecha ulevanecha ulevnaisecha. I've given it to you, to your children, to your sons, to your daughters, itcha who are with you. Lechak oilam, as a law forever. Bris melach oilam. A very interesting language. An eternal covenant of salt. That's what it says. Who he lifnei Hashem is she is before our God. Lecha ulezaracha itach, to you and to your children. Now, what is this pasuk saying? This is actually interesting. It's almost like a parenthesis. Rashi tells us something beautiful before we understand what the salt is. We are now finished with all of the presents that we give to the Kohen. Now we're going to move on to the Levi. What the Torah does is something quite beautiful here, because this is very much emphasizing the uniqueness and the specialness of the Kohanim. So he starts with an introductory pasuk that Hashem has given you a lot of special presents that the people have to give you, because you serve Hashem. Then he goes through all the details of the different presents, and then he gives a pasuk which summarizes it all, that it is a covenant of salt forever, and that you have been designated, and everybody has to give you. Why does he do that? To show us the importance and the value and the preciousness of the Kohanim, that Hashem wants to make it like a very organized chapter, and with a beginning, a middle, and an end, to show us again how much it means to Hashem that we do this mitzvah, that we give the Kohanim what they are supposed to be getting, and we should know in our mind when we give it to the Kohen, it's like we're giving it to Hashem Himself. What is this idea of a bris melach? Covenant of salt. So Rashi says something very cute. I know you do have it on your sheets. I think it's actually on number one, page number one of your booklet. I want to show you something. If you look at page number one, yes, no, maybe not. Oh, I don't know if I put it in here or not. Oh, I thought I did, but I guess I did. I'm so sorry. I didn't make it as one of your copies, but unless it's on a later one, I'm going to just make sure. Could be, yeah, maybe. Did I put it on number 7? I'm sorry. No. Okay, sorry. No. Okay, so I'll just tell it to you. Sorry. So he says like this, that salt is a very interesting thing. Salt is something...
It's on the bottom.
Is it? I thought I had it. That's why I'm looking. Thank you very much, Reva. Yes, it is there. I knew it. Okay, good. Very good. Number 1. Fantastic. On the bottom. Okay. I couldn't see it. Thank you so much. Yes. So it says like this, that when... here we are. So bris melech olam, karas brisim arein. He cut, entered into a covenant with arein, bidvar habari, and he called it by the name of something which is healthy. And what does that mean? Which is healthy? None of us think of salt as healthy, but it doesn't spoil. Not only doesn't it spoil, umiskayen, and it lasts. And in mavri esachirim, and it makes others healthy, which means if you add, it's one of the oldest preservatives that known to man, right? So it not only itself does it stay, but it causes other things to remain good. And this is the idea of what the Kohanim do. They remain holy, and they inspire us to remain focused on being holy. And this is why it's called a bris melach olam. So it's an eternal covenant of salt. And just the idea, beautiful, that the mitzvah, the Kohen has to realize his responsibility is not only to retain his own holiness, but to also cause others to be holy and to stop them from being unfocused, so to speak. That's like the concept of salt. And that's why that's a very important thing mentioned over here. Okay.
So the salt on your challah and your father.
So that has to do with the fact that we do put salt, but you know, by the carbonists, and yeah, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating, but it is significant. This is all very significant. This whole idea. Okay, okay. As we say, like the covenant, which is cut from salt, and it never. That's also the covenant is forever. That's another important thing. That the covenant with the Kohanim and the Levim are forever and ever, and we know even in the time of Mashiach, there will be something special about the Kohanim and the Levim. It is forever and ever. They have this covenant made with them. Okay, just want to see if there was, I'm just trying to think which what I should do now, if I should go to the, let's read the last few psukim, just to finish the psukim, and then we'll go back to see some other beautiful things. Okay, and then we see it says in Pasuk Chaf, now Hashem is again speaking to Aaron and Pasuk Chaf, because now we're going to move on to actually just concluding this whole thing. Ba'artzam, in their land, loisinchel, right? That they won't inherit in the land. We know that the Kohanim and the Levim do not get a portion. V'chelek lo yelecha, and a portion won't be for you. B'soicham ani chelkecha v'nachal lasecha. It's actually quite a beautiful way of putting it. You don't get a physical piece of land. Hashem says, I am your portion. I am your inheritance. B'soich b'nei Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people. Moving on to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Now, to understand, as we said, we've just covered the Kohanim. Now we are going to the Levim, to the more general, all from the tribe of Levi, who are not Kohanim, so the ordinary Levim. Ulevnei Levi, hinei nasati kol meiser b'Yisrael. So what have I given them? The Kohanim have 24 gifts, corresponding to the 24 books of the written Torah. Interesting, so I saw the Rebbeinu Bechaya brings, the Levim get what's corresponding to the oral Torah, which is not so much, in a sense. I don't mean so much, it's a lot, but it's not prescribed as much. It's 1/10, and that's it. They don't get other things. The oral Torah is derived from the written Torah and just expounds and expounds and expounds. Now, if the Jewish people become very, very wealthy, well, then 1/10 is a lot, right? Because it's all dependent on how much you have. So the more we learn spiritually, the more we are able to give the Levi within us. And this is the idea over here. So what do we give the Levi? The Levi gets called Meiser. All of the Meiser be Yisrael. I don't have the thing for them. I keep forgetting. Okay. L'nachala as a portion. Chelef avaydasam as instead of their work, as a exchange for their work. Asher heim oivdim es avaydas ayel meid. Why? Because they do the service in the Mishkan. They can't do other work, and therefore we have to give them 1/10 of what we earn. V'lo yikrivu oid b'nei Yisrael el ayel meid lasa ischeit lamus. And what the Levim prevent is that other people, the rest of the Jewish people, don't approach the Mishkan. And then, of course, if they do, they will have a sin and die. So if the Levim are there, as we said, to guard, not only to guard, but to be working, then the Jewish people will know till where they have to go, and they will not go where they are not meant to go. For Avad HaLevi, who has Avaydus Ayel Mayed, then the Levi will work the service of the Ayel Mayed, Veheim Yisu Avaynam Chukas Aylam. They will bear their iniquity. In other words, they will bear the sin forever if they don't stop the Jew. In other words, if they don't do their job properly, the Dairi Seichem for future generations. Ubesaych B'nei Yisrael, La Yinchalu Nachala, again, just like the Kaihanim, they don't get a portion. We know that the Levim do not inherit a portion in the land, but as he says, ki es meiser b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu la'Hashem truma, the tenth, the tithe that the Jewish people have, they set aside as a portion for Hashem. That, what Hashem says is, they've set it aside for me, but I have given it to the Levim, nasati l'Levim, l'nachala, as their portion, al kein amarti lahem b'seich b'nei Yisrael, lo yinchalu nachala. That's why I have said that they don't get a portion. In other words, my portion I have given them. What's my portion? The tenth. Why is that important? It's something we don't think of sometimes. This actually applies. Nowadays, we don't give 1/10 to the Levi, but we do the Meiser Ani, the 1/10 to the poor, right? It's not the same, but we can see a certain fascinating idea of insight here that's very important in the attitude. Many times, people, when they take away 1/10, it's not so easy. You know, you designate, you worked for it, and it could come to a lot of money, and you I want to give the 10th then to the poor person. Sometimes we might even think, well, he should, whatever, maybe they should work hard or whatever it may be. But we see here something quite incredible. The 10th that you give the poor person, you are giving to God. That's how you have to look at it. Nothing to do with the poor person. It's God's. Everything is God's to begin with. You're lucky that he lets you keep 9/10. But putting that aside, that 1/10 that you give to that poor person is you're giving it to God. Now, God says, how do you give it to me? Give it to the poor person or give it to the Levi. So it's quite an incredible different perspective that we have. And we know that if we are giving a present to God, we give the best. We don't give the worst, we give the best. So also, and we'll see soon, I want to see soon something, but let me just finish reading in the Pesukim. Vayidabra Hashem al Moshe Lemar ve'el ha-Levim tedaber. So Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he said to speak to the Levim. And it's interesting language, tedaber, which is quite a strong, speak to them strongly. Va'amarta aleim, and that softly, I say to them, what? Ki sikhu me'eis b'nei Yisrael es ha-maiser asher nasati lochem. Fascinating thing that happens, that when they take from the Jewish people the miser that I have given them, me'itam b'nachalaschem, v'harimoisem mimenu trumas Hashem. What do you have to do? I think we mentioned it last week. What does the Levi have to do? This is fascinating. The Levi takes a tenth off of the tenth that he gets from everybody else. And what does he do with that? Kohen. Is that amazing? He also gives Meiser. Fascinating. Usually you don't find that. You know, in like the way the world runs, you know, like let's say if you get money from the government, you don't give tax on that, right? You're getting money from everybody else's taxes because you need it. Torah has a whole different way of working. Beautiful. The Levi takes a tenth from his Meiser that he receives, and he gives it, as he calls it, Meiser min ha-Meiser. A tenth from the tenth. Fascinating. Why does that happen? So there's two beautiful ideas here. First of all, to show that the Kayan is the most special. That's the truth. That even though the Levi, because since the Levi is very close to the Kayan, that's where it's a little bit harder. You know, it's in family, it's harder to feel like somebody's more special. You know, if you're in the royal family, maybe there's a little bit less respect for the top. Over here we see the Kayhanim are special. The Levim also have to remember that. Why? And part of that also is the focus that if the Levim remember that there's somebody on top of them, ultimately they'll remember there's a God, right? So it doesn't go to their head. That's one thing. Another beautiful thing. When the Levim give Meiser, what that's enabling the Levim to do is something so beautiful. It means that the crops, they don't have a piece of land, right? They don't work the land. So they might feel that they are being deprived from the ability to do the mitzvahs of the land, which in a sense they are. All of the mitzvahs that, you know, you give this much to the Kohen, this much to the Levi, this corner for the poor, right? They don't have those mitzvahs, so they can feel deprived. And it's true they're getting their sustenance from other people, but they're not getting their sustenance in a way where they can do that mitzvah. So Hashem says, no, I'm not going to deprive you. Tell you what, you will also be able to. So your tenth becomes almost like your land. And you take from that and you give it to the Kayin. So the Levim get the special privilege of being able to do the mitzvah just like the rest of the Jewish people. It's a very beautiful idea. Again, giving everybody the opportunity. So it's not just receiving crops, they're receiving goods which they can do a mitzvah with. So that's the beauty of it. Okay, to finish up the Pesukim, V'nechshav lachem terumaschem kedogam and ayugayren ukem leim and ayakev. As we mentioned last time, your set aside portion shall be reckoned for you like the grain from the threshing floor and like the ripeness of the vat. That's what we were just saying now. It's mamish as if you have crops and now you're able to give from that to the Kohen. Therefore, Kein Tarimu Gama Temtrum Es Hashem. So too shall you set aside Hashem's portion, Mikol Maser Seichem, from all of your Maser, Asher Tikchu Meis Bnei Yisrael, Unisata Mimenu Es Trumas Hashem L'Aaron HaKohen. You will give to Aaron the Kohen, Mikol Matnei Seichem Tarimu Es Kol Trumas Hashem, Mikol Chelbay Es Mikdashay Mimenu. So you shall, from all of your gifts, you shall set aside all of Hashem's portion, from all its best parts, its sacred part from it. And just to finish the Pesukim, because I want to finish, and then I wanted to share a few more beautiful ideas. You shall say to them, through your setting aside its best from it, so these are the message that we're giving to the Levim. It shall be considered for the Levites like the produce of the threshing floor and the produce of the vat. They can eat it in every place. Atem u'beischem. In other words, even though you think it is holy, the tenth that you get, but it's not holy in the sense that you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But Levim eat it wherever they are. And not only do they eat it wherever they are, but all members of their family eat it, right? So it has a holiness in the sense that it's a mitzvah, but it doesn't have a holiness that it doesn't have specific laws regarding the tenth that the Levim get, what they do with it. Because it's like a reward, it's like your payment. Chelef avedaschem, in exchange for their work, by Almeid and the Mishkan. And you will not bear a sin because of it when you set aside its best from it. And the sanctities of the children of Israel you shall not desecrate, and you shall not die again. It's saying it like this because if you don't do it, you will die. That's the idea. In other words, if you are careful with these mitzvahs, then obviously you have no sin, you don't bear sin, and Hashem protects you. Now I just wanted to see, as I said, there's so many beautiful ideas that I wanted to make sure to rush through, unfortunately, always rushing. Not really always rushing. Sometimes we take too much time. But I just wanted to show you some beautiful thoughts here. So first of all, we mentioned over here that the Levim, as we said, have special special gifts here. They get the tenth, right? The Kohanim get all the 24 presents. The Levim get the 1/10 that we give them. Which is interesting because it's dependent on how much people have. So sometimes it could be quite a little. We mentioned this, the Levim aren't always very wealthy, sometimes actually quite poor. But nevertheless, Hashem provides, hopefully, right, as we say. It's an exchange for their work. And when the person, the Jew that's giving it, the rest of the Jewish people, when they're giving it to the Levi, they should look at it as if they're giving it to God. That's really what it is. And God is saying, I want it to go to my Levi. Interesting how it works with the tenth. Fascinating if you think about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov had, he had 12 sons, and we say that you have to give a tenth. So a tenth is really 1.2, but if you say from 10, how does it work? You know, when the farmer used to have, let's say, animals, so he'd take his sheep and he would lead them through the hole, let's say, for example, a hole in the gate, you know, if you think into the pen, and he would count. So he'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? And then the sheep would come out of, and when the tenth one came out, that was the one he set aside for Hashem. So if you think about Yaakov's sons, if you put them in, right, forward, who comes out first? The last one. In other words, the youngest comes out Binyamin, then Yosef, right? And if you count up to 10, who is the tenth? Levi. Levi is the tenth from the youngest of Yaakov's children, right? Because he's number 3 from the oldest, right? Because above Levi is Reuven and Shimon. So that's why Levi is the miser himself. So it's such a beautiful thought. And then he gets all of the miser from the Jewish people. That's how we learn miser even, because what did Yaakov do? He said, Levi will be holy. Well, not at his time, but later on they became holy, and they became the designated ones to serve Hashem, the 1/10, so to speak, from Yaakov's tribes. It's quite a beautiful way of understanding it. But another thing that, we didn't have time to look inside, but I wanted to share, it's just so beautiful, how there's a beautiful sicha that the Rebbe puts together the whole parsha. We're talking about the three parshas. As we said, the parsha makes perfect sense from beginning to end in a sense where it's all one theme. It's the theme of the Kohanim and the Levim. First, Korach is contesting it and saying that there shouldn't be any Kohanim and Levim. There shouldn't be anybody designated to be holy, as he said, Kol Hakol Kulam Kadeshim, right? We're all holy. And he didn't want to give that respect. And obviously the idea is that we don't do that, that we do have a certain tribe that is holy. But what does it mean? What does it mean for all of us? And the end of the parasha, we talk about actually how we treat this tribe and what we give them. So what we see is something so important. First of all, we have to know that there is a certain part of our life that is holier than other parts. Of course we bring God to all parts of our life. As a Jew, we know that there's no divisions. In other words, there's no part of our life that is not holy. But there are parts that are holier and parts that are more mundane. There's Shabbos and there's the week. Nobody can say Shabbos is the same as the week. It's not. But what is it about every single day? So we say we have to give it the best to Hashem. And also the beginning, Reishis, right? As we said with the Bijan Aben, the first. What's the first? The first is the morning, the early part of the day. When a person wakes up in the morning, they're the freshest. And what the best way is for that Shulchan Aruch, I mean, obviously everybody can only do what they can do. But the ideal is that a person should try every single day when they wake up in the morning, that at the beginning of the day, they should learn something. They should daven. not push it to later, but do it first. And afterwards, you can do what you need to do. But first, you set aside. That's the beauty, I think, of us on the Monday morning, the whole beginning of the week and the morning, that when we're freshest and our mind is freshest. That's first of all. Second of all, we know that even before we get to the learning and the davening, what's the first thing that we all say? The Maidani, exactly. Because the first thing that a person should do when they wake up in the morning, as we say, is to remember, to focus on the fact that everything is from Hashem, as we know. And we not only everything, but that's a very general word, but more specifically, Maidani lefanecha melechai v'kayam. And what do we say? Shehechazarta bi nishmasi, my soul. What does that mean, my soul? Why do we say my soul? What do you think Hashem gave me somebody else's soul?
Hashem's soul.
Yeah, it is Hashem's soul, but he's giving me back to me, right? The one that he designated for me. But what do we think? Hashem is going to make a mistake and give me somebody else's soul? What does my soul mean? Yeah. So it's a very beautiful thing. We have to remember that Hashem has given each and every one of us a unique soul, right? Each of us have something specific. We have to be actually grateful every morning for our uniqueness, for us, for what Hashem has given. It's not so easy sometimes, not so easy. The idea is, again, Hashem doesn't make mistakes, as we said. There's Hashkacha Pratis, right? So he knows each and every person. He gives back their soul. In there's a very beautiful Sikha of the Rebbe that's actually quite a deep one, where he explains the Maida'ani on many levels. And he says something there also very powerful, that when we wake up in the morning, we thank Hashem Nishmasi for the fact that we have a Jewish soul. What's special about a Jewish soul? Because if we didn't have a Jewish soul, we wouldn't have Torah, we wouldn't have some purpose, we wouldn't have meaning. So therefore, we thank Hashem for giving us back our soul, a Jewish soul, which is what sets us apart and sets our day on a certain specific path of living a life which has such incredible depth and such incredible meaning. And that's the first thing we do. That's the best of the day. And only after we do that can we continue with the rest of the day. So the first thing is the Maidani. We know that Maidani also means, just on a simple level, as we say, we're just grateful that Hashem gave us back our soul, right? That we woke up. More than that, it's also a hint to the fact that there will be Tchias HaMesim. Because the fact that Hashem, sleep is a 60th of death, right, it says. And the fact that we are, so to speak, become alive again in the morning, we wake up, that tells us that Hashem will do that for all of us. Emirat Hashem, there will be Tchias HaMesim. And Hashem will revive everybody, just like He revives us every single morning. And then we also say another beautiful thing about Maidani.
Would it be let us go to sleep also?
Yeah, that would... I think us women have a special... yes. So we say also that the idea is that Hashem gives, when we give the neshama back at night, so to speak, Hashem takes part of the neshama up. We say it's like a pikadain, it's like a deposit. You know, a deposit is usually that you owe somebody something, so they take a deposit, and when you pay back, they give you back your deposit. For many of us, Hashem has given us, thank God, a few hours of the day, and there's lots of things that we're supposed to fill our day with, and we don't always do exactly as much as we're meant to, right? Whatever, we try. We all try, but we don't always. And there's some things that we still owe God. And yet, what we say is something incredible. Despite the fact that Hashem could really technically, halachically, keep our neshama, because we still owe Him so much, so we shouldn't really be getting it back, Hashem still gives it back. What's the message? When you go out around your day and you see other people, and many people owe you different things in many different levels, as we know, and you might keep track, don't keep track. Hashem doesn't keep track. You shouldn't keep track. Do for others even though they owe you. It doesn't matter that Hashem will give you back your neshama even though He doesn't owe it to you. And not only doesn't He owe it to you, you owe it to Him, so to speak. He should really be holding on to it for longer, but He doesn't. He entrusts it again. And the other beautiful thing we know, when we say Maida'ani, we say Rabba Emunasecha, right? On one level is that we have great faith in God, but Hashem has faith in us. That's why He restores the neshama. Because He says, yesterday was yesterday, but today is a new day. As we said, every day we are born anew. Every minute we are born anew. We are new people. Therefore, we have a new opportunity to live in a different way than we lived yesterday. And Hashem has faith. And he does. He gives us back our neshama with that faith restored, that we should be able to live our day differently today than we did yesterday. There's no question about it. And therefore we say, this is the beginning, and this is the most important thing. And the Rebbe has a beautiful sikha where he explains that's for each and every one of us as individuals, there's the beginning of the day. And the truth is that the beginning of life is the children. Children are also supposed to be, in a certain sense, designated for Hashem. That's why it's interesting. It says that when the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe came to America, and those days, you know, in Europe, it was very different, the schooling system. But in America, we know it's like here, a day school, you know. So he was very much that they should learn Jewish studies first thing in the morning, not later in the day. Because in the morning is when your mind is fresh. And when you're a child, yeah, well, it's a very beautiful thought. What did you say?
I said
Alevai. Fresher than later. The fresh is all relative. So we have this idea again of designating what is the most holy, the most first, if you want to say, and we designate it to Hashem. And then what ends up happening when a person does that is that there isn't any more kairach. There's nobody, all right? There's no more voices that say, are you holier? Yeah, there is certain parts of the day that are holier and that has to be sanctified and they shouldn't be touched. We should daven, we should learn every single day. And it's a very important thing to remember because sometimes we do have a Friday when Shabbos comes in at 4:30 and there's a massive pressure and we could feel like we can't. It is important, even it's not a matter of the amount. 10 minutes, take the siddur, say your brachas, and you know what's beautiful now? You can actually, while you're cooking, learn something because you can listen to something, which is unbelievable. So you do that right away and then everything else flows from that. That's what we find. And this is the beauty of the parasha. I mean, there's so many other things. I feel bad. I know I've missed out. I wanted to see. Oh, I want to show you. I'm just going to read you one paragraph in Yiddish and I'll stop here. So because the Rebbe says it so beautifully. Let me just see if I can see which one it was. It was a beautiful... Okay, it talks about also the idea of challah. It's the same idea as you said, but there's some beautiful words here. I'll just read you over here. It says, the Rambam writes that also now we have the same idea as these meiser and giving the first. So he says, b'shaser git esen tzuan ariman, when a person gives a poor person food, darferim gebin min hatoy v'hamotoy k'shebishulchanoy, he should give him from the best and the sweetest of his table, from the best and ziste von sein tisch. B'shaser tut on anaketin, when he dresses, so somebody who doesn't have clothing, as we say, ki tira orum v'kisisa, if you see somebody who doesn't have clothing and you dress him, darferim gebin min hayofeh shepsusa, you have to give him the nicest of your clothing. B'shaser boita beis tfila, when you build a house of davening, it should be, and bayis noem mi beis yeshivasa, the shul should be nicer than your own home. And we see here the three things, right? The food, the clothing, and the housing. And all of it should be better when you, the parts that you give to Hashem, so to speak. And as we said, what you give the poor person is giving to God. And that's the beauty of it. Anyways, there's other beautiful words, but... Okay, so this is mainly the thrust, as we say. Just as we say this week, because I was reading this week is Gimel Tammuz, right? The Rebbe's Yahrzeit. So it's very beautiful. It's a famous story. Somebody once was asked the Rebbe's mother, says that he was a child, I think he used to deliver food, and he asked the Rebbe's mother, what's the Rebbe's favorite tefillah? And she said, I don't know, I'm going to ask him. And she came back to me and she said, Maida Ani. And it is true that the Rebbe did talk a lot about Maida Ani. And this is the idea, as we're saying over here, the best is the first. But the first strength, and that's what we have to remember. And then the whole entire day becomes different. It's not possible to say that it doesn't change the rest of the day. It does. It just spills over and everything is uplifted and we just live a whole different life. But we have to constantly remember that. So as we know about the Maidani, the beauty of it also is that Maidani is that is also symbolic of that part of the Jew which is always retains its holiness. And that's why we can say it even before we've washed Negelvasser, right? We didn't even wash our hands. Well, how could that be? If it's holy words, they are holy words, but they don't have Hashem's name. But the idea really symbolizes the part, the fifth level of the neshama, the yechida, which never, ever, ever can become tainted, and therefore, even while we are sleeping, doesn't become impure, and therefore, that is the expression, the maida'ani comes directly from the deepest part of our neshama. That's why it expresses so many of the ideas that we said before. Because it comes from the deepest part of our neshama, it gives us that incredible, incredible, if you want to say, strength and focus to know that we do have a neshama and that we do have that connection to Hashem. We can retain it and that we are special, we are unique in that sense. And that, as we said, the most beautiful thing, that Hashem does have faith in each and every single one of us, that we can live today in the best possible way. That's why he gives it back. No, we don't have a choice. He just does. So Baruch Hashem. But yeah, we. Okay. So we'll finish with this. I missed quite a few, but whatever. We tried. So Parshas Chukas. We will begin next week.